What if the prison you're trying to escape isn't your job, but your relationship with it? Across boardrooms and break rooms worldwide, millions wake each Monday with a familiar dread. The alarm becomes an enemy. The commute feels like a death march. Work has become something to endure rather than embrace. Yet here's the radical truth that challenges everything we've been told about career happiness. You don't need a new job to find fulfillment. You need a new approach to the one you have. We've been sold a lie about how work relationships function. For decades, the narrative placed employee engagement squarely on employers' shoulders, as if workers were passive recipients of workplace culture rather than active participants. This one-sided perspective has spawned an entire industry of engagement surveys, wellness programs, and culture initiatives, all designed to fix employees from the outside in. The truth is far more nuanced. Every employer-employee relationship operates as a social exchange, a continuous negotiation where both parties assess costs and benefits. Think of it like a marriage. When only one partner tries to make it work, resentment festers. When both invest intentionally, transformation becomes possible. This is where most career advice fails us. We're presented with three doors: quit and find something better, suffer in silence, or wait for leadership to magically fix everything. But there's a fourth door, the one most people never see. It's the door of deliberate transformation, where you become the architect of your own professional experience without updating your resume. Walking through this door requires five foundational elements. First, acknowledge your need for recognition and actively pursue feedback rather than waiting for annual reviews. Second, align your natural strengths with organizational goals through strategic role crafting. Third, develop skills that genuinely energize you rather than checking boxes on generic development plans. Fourth, cultivate authentic relationships across all levels of your organization. Fifth, design your daily work to connect with larger purpose and meaning. When a customer service representative reframes their role from handling complaints to solving problems that improve lives, everything shifts, not the job itself, but their entire experience of it. Fear whispers that speaking up will backfire, that proposing changes marks you as difficult, that advocating for yourself signals ingratitude. So you stay quiet, and the quiet calcifies into resignation. But what if fear isn't the obstacle? What if it's the compass? Your brain's fear response evolved to protect you from physical threats, but in modern workplaces, it often misfires. The neural circuits that helped our ancestors avoid predators now convince us that requesting feedback will end in catastrophe. The breakthrough comes through naming your specific fears with precision. "I'm afraid of work" is too vague. "I'm afraid that if I tell my manager I need more recognition, she'll think I'm needy and pass me over for promotion" is concrete enough to examine rationally. Our minds create mental shortcuts that trap us in outdated patterns. If your previous boss dismissed your ideas, your brain assumes all authority figures will do the same. You're reacting to ghosts rather than present reality. Here's where your two superpowers emerge: choice and control. You cannot change your manager's personality or company structure, but you have complete authority over your responses and actions. This shift from external to internal locus of control transforms you from victim of circumstance into agent of change. When you activate self-awareness, observing your patterns without judgment, you interrupt negative cycles before they spiral. Notice what triggers your "work sucks" thoughts and how they manifest physically. This awareness creates space for different choices. Seeking appreciation feels vulnerable professionally. We've learned that needing recognition signals weakness, that dedicated workers should labor in obscurity. This conditioning leaves us starving for acknowledgement while pretending otherwise. Neuroscience explains why. Our brains have a negativity bias, giving disproportionate weight to criticism. One harsh comment eclipses 10 compliments. This evolutionary adaptation once helped us survive threats, but now systematically undermines workplace confidence. Recognition isn't universal. Some thrive on public acknowledgement, team shoutouts, company-wide emails. Others prefer private affirmation, personal notes, quiet conversations. Understanding your preference matters. Ask directly using the SE framework. Be specific about what you want input on, share an example, and ask them to explain their perspective. Instead of "How am I doing?" try, "I've been making presentations more engaging. In last week's client meeting, I incorporated storytelling. What impact did you notice?" Generic strength assessments, good with people, or detail-oriented are too broad for meaningful work redesign. Real strength identification requires precision. Try this 7-day practice. Each evening, document your best moment, when you felt most capable, what you naturally gravitated toward. Patterns reveal your authentic strengths. Connect these strengths explicitly to organizational objectives. For draining tasks, explore options. Stop doing them by proving they're non-critical. Reduce time through efficiency. Partner with someone energized by this work. Or reframe by connecting the task to something meaningful. Professional development often feels like box checking. Create an abilities opportunity map. Assess gaps between current capabilities and your destination as waypoints, not failures. Categorize needed skills as soft, communication, hard, technical, or hybrid, requiring both. The critical question most plans ignore: which three skills will make the quickest positive impact on your daily work? Not what looks impressive, what will genuinely make your work more engaging? A project manager might prioritize facilitating difficult conversations over advanced Excel. Evaluate resources through three lenses. Will this equip you with necessary capabilities, empower you to apply them, inspire you to persist? Different skills require different approaches. Soft skills develop through coaching and practice. Hard skills need formal training. Hybrid skills benefit from informational interviews with low-stakes practice. Track wins systematically in a best efforts document. Record accomplishments, positive feedback, and moments of effectiveness. Review weekly. This counteracts your brain's negativity bias with evidence of your value, positioning you to advocate for performance reviews and opportunities aligned with your authentic strengths. Workplace relationships aren't optional. Neuroscience shows our brains process social needs identically to physical needs like hunger. Social pain from exclusion registers neurologically as physical pain. The Platinum Rule provides the foundation. Treat others how they want to be treated. Your analytical colleague craves data-driven recognition. Your expressive teammate needs verbal processing to think clearly. David Rock's SCARF model identifies 5 social triggers: status, certainty, autonomy, relatedness, and fairness. Your colleague who explodes when questioned perceives status threats. Your micromanaging boss needs certainty to feel secure. Identifying these patterns minimizes threats and maximizes collaboration. We sabotage relationships through the ladder of inference, escalating from facts to harmful assumptions. Your coworker doesn't respond to email. Fact. You assume they're ignoring you. Inference. You act on internal story rather than reality. To descend, what facts exist? What alternative explanations? Trust operates through oxytocin, a neurochemical affecting willingness to accept social risk. Small adjustments, assuming honorable intent, expressing appreciation, creating transparency, transform frustrating interactions into energizing collaborations. The most profound transformation comes through redesigning your current role, not changing employers. Meaning in work is personally defined. People in identical roles experience work entirely differently based on whether they view it as a job, paying bills, a career, advancement focused, or a calling, fulfilling part of identity. Job redesign happens through 3 approaches: task modifications, change how you perform activities, or add responsibilities leveraging your strengths. Relational changes alter professional relationships, seeking energizing colleagues, minimizing draining ones. Cognitive adjustments reframe your perception of your job's purpose. Start with cognitive redesign by listing core responsibilities and asking, "So what?" for each. You process invoices. So what? So vendors get paid on time. So what? So the company maintains supplier relationships. So what? So we deliver quality products, improving customers' lives. Suddenly, invoice processing connects to meaningful impact. For task modifications, identify duties that could better utilize your talents. A marketing coordinator excelling at visual communication might propose more design work while reducing administrative tasks, framing changes as benefiting the organization. For relational changes, map your 5 most frequent workplace interactions, documenting what's working and what needs adjustment. When redesign stalls, leverage your approach based on authority level. With formal power, identify meaningful projects and shift team direction. Without authority, use strengths to provide value, identify allies who create opportunities, and build trust with decision makers by demonstrating how changes benefit them. Professional fulfillment doesn't require new business cards. It requires new approaches to the work you already do. The employer-employee relationship has evolved into a balanced social contract where your skills fuel organizational growth while meeting your needs for meaning, recognition, and development. Through incremental shifts in how you approach recognition, leverage strengths, develop skills, cultivate relationships, and design your job, you've transformed your position into a source of fulfillment. Your courage to face workplace politics and detractors has made you the architect of your professional experience, negotiating flexible arrangements, proposing aligned projects, and actively seeking growth opportunities. The most powerful insight? You determine work significance in your life story. Transformation is ongoing. Your needs will evolve, requiring continuous reassessment, seeking new challenges, developing skills, or redefining success. But you now know the steps. Own your power, love your strengths, make intentional changes. You're not a cog in a machine, but a participant in a dynamic relationship where your choices matter. Any job can become your dream job when you become the architect who designs it.